Amen. That was beautiful. Amen. I appreciate that this morning. And you know, I appreciate all the songs that were played and sang this morning. It's just been a blessing to be here. I say praise the Lord. And I was thinking about it, Brother Nathan too, thinking about those songs. Some are future tense and some are past tense, especially when you study and look at the Bible. But when you get to heaven, it's just pretense. It's just the presence. That's it. There's no more looking back. There's no more looking forward. It's just the same all the time. I can't really imagine that. We've never had that as human beings. And just so thankful for what the Lord's doing for us, what he has done for us, and what he's going to do for us. And I do have just a couple of quick announcements. Kind of mentioned some of these, I believe, earlier, but next Sunday, Brother Howard Miller will be here with us, be here with the church. And so he'll be taking both the Sunday school time and the preaching time as well. A few of us are going to be at the university from 9 until 10:30 for the spiritual fair that they're having there to present for collegians. And so my plan is to come here right after that. So I plan to be here for the preaching time afterwards. So I wanted to share that. And then also next Sunday, I'd love to have all of our young people here, college, high school, county school, all elementary, all of our students, our young people. What we'd like to do is have a prayer with you, for you next week for our back to school at the end of the service next Sunday. So we want you to be here with us. We're going to let you come up, and we want to pray for you and pray around you next Sunday. And then also we have sign-up sheets will be at the back for desserts for the weeks that we have for CFC. So what we're going to do is rotate. I'll start the first week, but Brother Bradley and I are going to rotate each week in teaching. And then anybody that would like the week that I would, from our church, the week that I would be teaching there, then if you'd like to have a dessert or what have you that you'd like to bring that Wednesday, we'll take it to them that Thursday. And then Brother Bradley will be doing the same thing with his church there. Just so many kind of different ways to be involved and show support there. So just want to get that out there. And any questions, please reach out to me, Sister Brandy. And we appreciate your prayers in that. And we obviously we believe in it. We stand for it and we back it. But it's a new undertaking, and we definitely want to see the Lord's will be done there. So if you'd like to, let's turn to Colossians chapter number 3. If you'd just like to turn there and just kind of park there. I'm going to be all over the place a little bit, I think, today. Just sometimes the Lord gives a block of scripture, and sometimes I think he lays more of a contextual thing on my heart. And that's the way this was this week. And never really felt anxious or, Lord, what would you have me to preach so much this week, but just trusting he would give it. And yesterday, that's what he did. I had different things on my mind and on my heart, but he confirmed this, and he's got a way that he can do that, and he's done that with me. It's like when he does it, I know when he's talking, and I try to listen, and I want to listen to him. And sometimes I say, Lord, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to say things wrong way and what have you. But I've learned to trust him with it. And I think the Spirit has been just so sweet here this morning. And I think he's kind of set the tone for everything. And what I want to preach on this morning is about relationships. Relationships. Relationships affect everything that we do. And none of us live into ourselves. So the Bible teaches us. And it's so important that we take care of and nurture relationships. And what I found in my life, if any one of those relationships is out of order and not working correctly or not what it should be, it affects the others. It all kind of works together. It's interesting how we are as human beings. And, you know, we get wrapped up in feelings, emotions, and thoughts and wills, I guess you could say, ways of thinking. I see it this way, you see it that way, that kind of thing. But the Bible really has a way of bringing all of that together. If you have, we'll be talking about family, we'll be talking about children, we talk about husband and wife, pastor and church, we talk about the Lord himself, but if there's different ways of thinking, surely to goodness there has to be a way of coming together. How could you ever come together if women are kind of made this way and men are kind of made that way? How in the world would you ever come together? But see, that's the way the Lord has created things in his creation. Things that are different are not the same, not intended to be. Different ways of doing things, but one thing that you will see is that the Word of God was designed to bring those things together. When you look at creation, it may look kind of all over the place and might be overwhelming, but do you know in God's mind, in His pre-plan, in His preset for this earth, it is in His order? His ways are past our ways, so we can't understand it, and I wouldn't expect us to understand everything. We're not supposed to. But the Lord gives us His Word, and He shows us in His Word how we are supposed to respond to these things. I tell you, I don't know why a lot of times why the Lord lays things on my heart. Any preacher, the things on his heart, but I trust that it's because it's something that He wants to accomplish in all of our lives. And I thought about this morning. You know, sometimes we can kind of get locked into this, maybe thinking, I remember there's times I'm like, man, I wonder who this is for. What does the preacher know? What has the preacher heard that this is for this person or whatever? And, you know, sometimes people look around like, who is this for? Well, you don't have to look around. It's for every single one of us. This is, I tell you this morning, this is just as much for me as it is for you. There's not a person in here this isn't for. So don't worry about trying to figure that out. Just look inside and see where it fits in your life, in your heart. Because the Lord wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work in all of us. And again, this morning, I give the title this morning, some musts in relationships. Some musts in relationship. I want to read this one verse and then we'll pray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says here, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, that's every single one of us. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, God, that even though so many times, most of the time, maybe, Lord, I don't know or understand things, God, but I just trust that you see the bigger picture, and I know you do, God, and what you want to accomplish. And Lord, I can't help but feel that we're on the cusp of something special, God, and I just feel see how you work and can feel it in my heart, God, and I don't want to miss anything. Don't ever want to mess up anything, God. Just I want to be a part of it and take the part, God, that you've called me to have. And I want to see everybody here today, Lord, likewise, take part, God, and it just be what you would have it to be for every single one of us. I know, God, when you call us, when you save us, and then you call us to do things, God, you intend for us to follow through with things, but we know it's you, God, that which we've committed to you, God, you're able to keep. And I thank you for that, God. Anything that's that important to us, God, if we had committed to you, you'll keep it for us, God. And what a savings account that is, God. And I just thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for all those that are here today. God, I just pray your blessings upon them. God, I pray that you help their hearts, help our hearts today. Lord, I just thank you for how you prepare things for us and how you move around us, God, and just look after us in general, God. You're just so good to us in so many ways. And I just thank you so much for that, Lord. God, I pray and ask that you guide me this morning, everything that I say. God, I pray you say it. Say it through me, Lord, that it be said right, that it be said the right way, the right spirit, God. Lord, I know how you laid it upon my heart, and God, I thank you for that. Lord, help us here today. Lord, be with those that are lost. Lord, help our young people, be with them, so many things that they face, God, and just help us here today. We're going to trust you with it all, Lord, and give you the grace, the glory, and the honor for it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You look at relationships, it's extremely important. Been thinking about that a little bit and how we work with one another and everybody in general. You think about our communities and you think about divisions and things across the world. That's kind of the big uproar. Watching the news, it's very rarely do you ever hear anything uniting. A lot of it's very divisive and what have you. But I just really thought about the word relationship and the importance of relationships, the importance of having strong relationships. And you'll find that all in the Bible. It's all in God's Word. and the importance of doing that. You look at the word relationship, and that means the state of being related by kindred, affinity, or other alliance. It means union or allies. You're together. And I tell you, there is nothing better, nothing more special than being together. When fellowship is broken at any point in any of these relationships, it'll affect you in every single other relationship. When you look at the word kindred, that means birth. You can't help your family, right? Amen. You're born to who you're born to, born with, what have you. And then you think about marriage. That means affinity. That word affinity means marriage. Who you choose to marry, who you choose to be with. And then also it says also, or other alliance. And you know, I thought about like that, some of the friends that I have. We've talked about our special friends that we have and people that we choose to be with in our lives. And you know, I thank God for friendships like that. That you can have a relationship with somebody outside of blood or birth or marriage that you can appreciate that much. And I thank God for good friends. I preach about that a lot probably and mention that, but it's important. Again, because none of us live unto ourselves. You know, sometimes you might think, well, you know, what I do doesn't matter, but it does. It's not just certain people in the church or certain people in the world. Every member matters. Everything is important. And it's very important that we notice that and we see that. And I see things in life that if any of these are broken, if the support network is not there the way that it's supposed to be, it affects everything else in your life. The first topic that I want to look at is family. You think about mom and dad and son and daughter. I tell you, that is probably one of the most important relationships that there ever was or ever will be. The reason I say that is if you look at what's being attacked more so than anything else in creation, it's family. I'll tell you, with the devil, it's really no secret with what he's attacking, mom, attacking dad, trying to take mom or dad out of the home. He has a purpose in trying to do that. It affects people. You know, I think about some of our young ones, and I feel bad. I feel awful sometimes in trying to remember everything in my mind. You know, I go back to when I was a young person. I think about mom and dad bringing me to church. And then I think about maybe people here, people who come through or come to our church. And guess what? They don't have mom and dad taking them to church. I'll tell you, that's nothing to take for granted. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Let's just be real about it today and just think about it. The fact that you're here, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Somebody to bring you to the house of God so you could hear about the Lord. The most important thing that could ever change or will ever change your life is that aspect. And I think about our sweet young people. Maybe mom and dad are not in the picture. And who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of them? You know, it takes support. It takes a family. It takes a special relationship to see those people, make sure they don't fall through the cracks. I tell you, there's a lot that can be done through and by the church, and I believe God ordained it to be done so the people don't fall through the cracks that way. What an outreach it is. We see about our children in Colossians 3, look at verse 20 and 21. You said, preacher, you're supposed to use Ephesians for this. No one will use some of those verses that's not commonly seen, but say a lot the same thing. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, talking about our children. Number one, again, the family, the relationship of the family and the importance of our children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And you look at this, and I know, being a young person, that once upon a time in my life, and we all look back and think about that, and what it was like, we have our will and we're trying to learn our boundaries and things like that. Somebody has to teach somebody some boundaries. Did you know that? Did you know you weren't born with boundaries? You weren't. Somebody had to teach you. I mean, you think about order. Again, God has an order in this creation that He has made. He has an order. I think back to when I was a little kid, kind of how I acted probably depended on who I was around. If I was around some people, I knew that they was going to baby on me and I could probably get my way and I'd probably push things a little bit further with them because I knew I could get more out of them. Just be honest with you. Those that spoil you in your life, if you have anybody that spoils you, love them and appreciate them. But just also know that there needs to be people in your life also that's not going to let you get away with things like that. And I tell you, it's easy to not be the favorite when you're not the spoiling one, the one that says, yeah, baby, go ahead and do it. It's just not like that. But there is a must, again, using some must in relationships. Parents must instruct their children, and they must have guidance. Because here's the thing, if they're not taught this must when they're young at that age, by the time they get to this age, they're pretty well done for. They're set in their ways. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's hard to reason with somebody that's never been told no. They think there's always somebody out there that's going to give them what they want. That's where you see a decline in accountability. Brother Darren's sitting back there. I'm glad you're here this morning. Brother, both of you Darrens, you're sitting right there in line. So I got you both right there. But Brother Darren and I, we grew up in a similar generation, maybe some similar things in the workplace. And we got to see a lot of people that got to 18, 19, 20 and didn't know what no meant. And then we've had to try to teach them. That's hard. It's hard by the time you get to this point. You know, I really started thinking about generationally how things are. You think about how things go in the home. You think about how things go in the church. Well, if you'll go back to the home, that's probably where things are starting and ending, kind of right there. What people see in the home is probably what they're going to do versus what they see in the church, versus what they see in the school, versus what they see anywhere else, because that's the home base, the importance of it. And I'm telling you, if things are out of order in the home, it's hard to have any kind of order anywhere else. So that does take, and it does place a lot of responsibility on mom and dad, but God ordained it to be that way. Children are a blessing, but they must be taught, and they must be brought into subjection to learn that no means no. And there's a reward system to things. I tell you, that's the way you see it in the Word of God. You'll see it. If you do right, the Lord rewards. If you do wrong, the Lord chastises. It's in the Bible. So it's not a foreign concept even to adults, but the children of God, it's no different to them. See, number one, you see children, the importance of relationships with mom and dad. But now let's talk about mom and dad. I tell you, the importance of mom and dad being on the same page. If mom and dad are at odds with each other, it's hard to do much else. It is. Kids will learn early on to play mom against dad and try to get what they want. That's what they'll do. And it's not always mom's the soft one, dad's the hard one. It could flip. It could be different ways. But see, children are smart. They're smart real young. You got to get on that. You got to get on that quick. I'll use this as an example. We love dogs. Nobody knows. I mean, everybody knows that. That's no secret here. But we've had a few in our life that taught us and trained us. They were smart. I tell you, you'd think my little dog never eats it and never eats in her life. But she eats all the time. But she comes to you starved every time. She'll bring you an empty bowl. She'll carry you an empty bowl after eating and drop it at your feet. That's pretty smart, isn't it? But she knows what? You know what? She knows daddy's the one that he doesn't say no. Here, have another one. She's hungry. Bless her heart. You see, they know these things. They see these things. But it's so important that mom and dad be on the same page. And I see this here a lot. I learned this. I saw some situations of this week. And I tell you, it's amazing how the Lord works. Men, I think for the most part, they lead with logic. They lead logically. And I believe also in saying that, women also lead with the heart and they lead emotionally. Anybody disagree with that? I think that's kind of what I've seen in my life. And you think, well, how in the world do you make that work? How do you make that work? I've seen times in my life where I've tried to lead with my heart. And what I mean by that is I want things to be good. I want things to be right. What's right? Everybody did right what was right in their own eyes. So there's as many rights in here to us as there are people. But does there not have to be one right? There can't be multiple rights. There can't be multiple truths. There's one right and one truth. Would you not agree with that? Well, if people think differently and people operate differently, how in the world would you bring them together? How would you bring them together? There has to be a standard. Standard operating procedures, SOP. You see that a lot in business. But, you know, the Lord gave us one also. If there's a discrepancy on one side or the other, and I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong, I'm just saying there has to be a way to come together or we would be at odds all the time. And there'd be no way to rectify it. There'd be no way to make it right. There'd be no way to say, this is what we need to do. And I can tell you this morning that God's way is not logic, and God's way is not emotionalism either. Do you know that? God's way is faith. That's His way. If we relied on logic, we'd be in bad shape. Logic can only take you so far. A heart emotionalism can only take you so far because the heart's desperately wicked. Who can trust it? Who can know it? If you can't trust your heart and you can't trust your mind, who can you trust? The Lord. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. That's the only way that people are going to be brought together and be brought together right is surrendering will to Him. That's the only way. But see, that's where we run into things sometimes. We run into issues and problems. And what you see here as you come on down in Colossians 18 and 19, just prior to that, you see, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now you look at that word there, and you look at how that is, you're starting to see God's order. Boy, I tell you, it gets unpopular pretty quick, but God created it, I didn't. I can read it to you. How does somebody say, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you? I had a friend tell me that one time, and I thought that's pretty good. That's all right. But God created an order. You go back to creation, read in Genesis, and you'll see how and why things were set up the way they were. You can go back. The Bible even gives us that. Doesn't make man any more right and women any more wrong. It just is the way that it is. And we all have our placement in His creation. It's saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit and to the Lord. I've said this before. We got a lot of young people here. We got people that's getting ready to get married and things like that, and I want you to know and understand. I want to tell you this, before you get married, as a young lady or as a woman, before you get married, if you look across, look beside you at your person that you're engaged to, the man you're engaged to, and if you cannot defer to his judgment, don't marry him. I'm saying walk away right now. That's what I'm telling you. That's what being subject to, that's what surrendering to or submitting to means. It says, if we are trying to figure something out and I don't know, then I'm going to trust you to make the right decision. That's what the Bible is saying to do. It's what the Bible says to do. Now, here's the thing. You know, old school way of thinking, you know, way of preaching, maybe could have been at some times that you just do what the man says and all stuff. The man has responsibilities to earn that trust. Trust is earned, not just given. You can say you trust somebody by mouth, but if they've not given you a reason to trust them, you really don't. Just be honest. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to this or I know I'm supposed to that, but I think there's times that people get married not thinking about all kinds of things, all kinds of ways that come in. When I first got married, I remember seeing what mom and dad had experienced, some things, but until you're in those shoes making those decisions, you really don't know what it's like. You don't know. And I see people that's married shaking their head. That's true. You learn things as you go. And I tell you, if we would learn more of the Word of God before we do some things and make some decisions, it would help us in the long run. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of getting married. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just saying, if you can't look to that person and say, you know what, I trust his judgment, and I believe he's going to lead us right, then you got to think about that on the front end, not just go with the heart. There's some mind that has to be placed in it as well. You see these things here again. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You see, that's what ties it in here. Not in everything. It's not what it's saying in this verse. It says, as it is fit, as it fits in the Lord. And you look at verse 19, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, I tell you, it can be tough sometimes when logic is meeting emotion and you're trying to make that equation come out. That can be very frustrating. If anybody's been married and being honest, I think you'd see that logically this is how it is. Yeah, honey, but this.
I don't want to hear about your sappy feelings. This is how it needs to be. You know? I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's how it goes. Let's leave feelings out of it. Let's just be logical about this. So that's how men are. Women say, yeah, but honey, what about this? You see, I'm not being against somebody that's soft-hearted. You know, the Bible speaks highly of somebody that's got a soft heart. I tell you, hard-hearted people, the Bible doesn't speak too highly of. You say, well, how do you come together with these things? You come together with what is on the Word of God. And what I'm saying here is, if you look at what these verses are saying, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I'm telling you, husbands, dads, you better set the example, and it better be worth setting. It better be something somebody's willing to follow. If you're not practicing what you're preaching, you're not setting an example. It is so easy to say things. I'm preaching to myself. I told you this is for me as much as it is anybody else. It is so easy to say the right thing, but so hard to do the right thing sometimes in that moment. Things come at you quick. You got decisions to make. You accidentally say something you shouldn't have said. All these kind of things coming together. So what do you rely on? You rely on history. You rely on testimony. You rely on something that it shows, hey, this person is credible. And I'll say this, if you have a husband that is proven to be faithful and credible, and he will actually go back to the Word of God to see what direction he's supposed to go, you better support him. You better support him. Doesn't always have to be, but honey, and all this second guess, it doesn't have to be like that all the time. You know, when you look at things, you put things together. If you have somebody that doesn't have a history of making good decisions, well, that's something you got to work through. If you've got a husband that's willing to set an example, working to try to follow the Word of God, see what God says, and then do that, you better support him. Women can say amen too. Amen. That's the kind of husband you want. You don't want somebody that you can't trust and you don't want to follow. You don't want that. But you see, you got to understand, husbands, you've got to be willing to step out and do what's right. Not knee-jerk reactions and things like that. It's not how the Lord wants it to be, but if you want us to come together, you see this. You see, number one, dad setting the example. Number two, mom giving the support. You see, that's how it brings it back together. That's when the son, the daughter that's trying to play mom against dad, they see, no, this is how you do it. And you know what happens in that moment when that young child sees that come together? They see that partnership together. They see that support. Sooner or later, they're going to say, that's the kind of marriage I want to have. That's the kind of relationship I want to have when I get married, somebody that I can trust that much, that I can have to help me raise these kids. That's the kind of relationship you're looking for. That's kind of what you want there. Now, let's switch gears just a little bit. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. You see some things there in the home. Think about those relationships and how things are supposed to be. You see the family, you see the home. Now, you look at the church. The relationship between the church and the pastor. You know, I think a lot about that. I thought a lot about this here lately. God has really blessed me, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with a wonderful opportunity to step away from the full-time job that I have and pastor full-time. You don't know, church, how much that means to me. I would say probably only my family, and to a degree, knows how much and how long I have wanted that. To do it right, you have to put it all in right here. You have to. Or it's not done right. I mean, you know, I understand there's different situations. I'm not getting in on anybody and saying, if you're not doing this, you're doing it wrong. I'm not saying that. But I know for me to be what you need, I have to be all in. I know that. I know that. I remember when I first started preaching, when I first started and pastoring, even people say, brother, are you still working a job? Like it was a shame. And I'm like, well, yeah. They almost kind of look at you like, well, you're not doing it full time then. You're not. I'm like, well, it's just not like that. I can't help it. You know, there's provisional needs and things. I mean, it just is what it is. But thank God that we're here today. I think about that a lot, and I don't take it lightly, and I want you to know that I don't take it lightly. The position of pastor is nothing to be toyed with, and it's nothing to not take serious. It's the most serious position you can have on this earth. I believe that. You think about, what about father and mother? Yes, but who is supposed to help take care of father and mother and all the kids? The pastor. I'm not trying to put more responsibility on me than I have, but it's the truth. Look around the church this morning. Thank God that you're here. I tell you, there's nothing more important in my heart this morning. So you see some things here talking about service that you see here in Peter, 1 Peter 5, and it says, verses 1 through 4, it says here, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He's talking from experience. And some things that he says here that the pastor is supposed to do. This is what a good pastor would do and what they're supposed to do, charged to do. He's saying, feed the flock of God. You know, I think about this all week, every day through the week. I try to pray. I don't just try to prepare on Saturday. I try to pray throughout the week and let the Lord give it when he gives it. Maybe it is a lot of times more toward the weekend that it's finalized and settled, but I start praying early. You know, I want to say this. I say it a lot, and I mean it. Praise God for all the people that we have. You don't know how many times I hear about churches, and they say, we don't have that many young people. But praise God, we do. Praise God, we do. Now, something about that is, when you start looking at it like that, and you start thinking, how are you going to prepare a message that's going to feed all these people? You have some that likes bean and taters, and you have some that likes macaroni and chicken nuggets. This is a lot like Bible school. Hey, man, it is. We got a diverse crowd, and I say praise God for it. So you got to be able to feed the flock. It's a good flock. You got to have some milk. You got to have some bean and taters, and thank goodness you got to have a little steak and chicken from time to time. Feed the flock, and it says here also, which is among you, taking oversight thereof. That's watchful care. You know, the more people you have, the more watchful care that it takes. There's all kinds of things that people are facing today. Things that I felt like I was kind of up with some of the things when I was being an officer, and it's amazing how the Lord gives you things to help you prepare and see things in a different light. But there's things even since stepping away from that that have changed. It's hard to keep up with everything. The social media, internet things, and all these hooks and snares that's out there. It takes a lot to be a watchman in this day and time. It takes a lot. I tell you, that's why it's important to have a church together, church support together. We're in this thing together. It's a partnership, all of us together. Oversight thereof. And it says here, now, this is something. I've thought about this for so many years probably as pastor. And maybe not having a way to necessarily put it all in together. But some of these things here, as you see it together, this verse into the next, it says, not by constraint, not being held to do it, not being felt like you are forced to do it, but willingly, hey, I want to do this. Why would you want to do this? Because I love you, and I mean that with everything in me. I think sometimes people are afraid to say that. I'm not. I love you, and I mean it. If I can help you in any way, I'll do whatever I can to try to help you. The Lord laid that burden upon my heart a long time ago, and I mean it with everything in me. I found certain times in life that certain people, that it was too late to help them, then my mind immediately turned. If you want to help people, you got to help them while you can. And that's what I want to do. That's exactly what the Lord has laid on my heart. But now in doing that, what I see here in verse number 3, but also says, not for filthy lucre, it's not about the money, but of a ready mind, being prepared, being confident in what you're preaching, what you're teaching, not a bunch of question marks, but being affirmative. But look at verse number 3. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, that's a very interesting verse. I think maybe the old school way, I don't say old school, I don't know how to say it. I think old school mind thought, a mindset, was the preacher's just supposed to lay the smack down and jerk people in line and make them do what they're supposed to do. Well, here's the thing. Does God give you a choice? Do you have your own will? See, the preacher is supposed to do this willingly, not by constraint. Well, guess what? The same thing applies to the people in the congregation. You have to do it willingly also, whatever it is. I think a lot about our missions work. I think a lot about that. Praise God for overseas missions. Praise God for what we get to do at the music camp. Praise God for what we get to do in Bible school here in our own community. Praise God for that. I have a heart for that. You look around, you see people being working through the school system, working in law enforcement. You get to see and meet a lot of people. There's a lot of need right here in this county. And we have a lot of means to help them. I tell you, that's what this life is about. That's what church is about, is helping people. Does that sound exciting or no? Well, let's say about this. Let's look at it this way. Aren't you glad the Lord helped you? Amen. Amen. Now see, what he wants us to do is in likewise turn and help people. You see, that's a beautiful thing. See, we don't, I want our mindsets to think about something. We don't get to, it's not like doing a job application or interview process who we want at the church, right? Aren't you glad God didn't do it that way? God didn't come and send Jesus and Jesus and say, Jesus, now you do some applications, you open up and the vilest community, and let's open up some applications to see who we would like to have at the church. Now, we want clean-cut individuals. We want people that have never drank, have never smoked, have never cussed, have never had a tattoo. We want people that have never made a mistake. Can you put that out there? Well, it wouldn't be nobody in the church, would they? Such were some of you. That's what the Bible says. You see, instead of using that or thinking that there's some credibility to that, just remember what God did for you when he found you where you was at. And you had another way to go. You see, when you start reaching out to the community, when you start fishing, you don't really know what you're going to catch. But I will tell you this. After the one is caught, there's a change expected. Every single time the Lord witnessed to somebody, every single time he reached out to somebody, he told them, now go and sin no more. There was a change. There's something that changed in the life of people. And I tell you, that's what the church function still is today. It's not about just trying to get numbers in or any old kind of thing. The gospel has never changed and the gospel is never going to change. Praise God for that. The blood of Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross, will never change. That's enough, and that's the only thing that's going to work. And all you can do is preach it and share it. Boy, I tell you, it gets good when you start looking at these things, not of willingly, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, but again, neither as being lords over God's heritage, God's children, God's church, God's people, but being in samples to the flock. He's saying, get this, he's saying this, you can't lord over people. I can't make you do this or do that. I can't make you do this or do that. Do you know that? And there's a lot of times that there's defiancy if a person is told do this. I've met people like this. If you don't tell them to do anything, they're kind of fine. You tell them to do something, they'll find a way to say no. They'll step out against it. But I tell you, if you've got somebody that is as a pastor that has a heart for the church, that is willing to study, willing to look after your souls, look after the souls of your children, you need to support them. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking by prayer. I'm talking by support. I'm talking about, hey, I'm here for you and I love you and I'm glad you're here. That's important. That's very important. I tell you, this happened, I don't know, about a month or so ago. A sweet lady, doesn't go to church here, but you know, I got a message one morning, had a little meme on it, and then underneath it a special note that said, I love you, and she topped it herself. You know what she's done ever since, every single morning? If I don't beat her to it, she sends it to me. You know how much that means to me? Praise the Lord, that means the world to me. Somebody thought about me when I wasn't thinking, when I didn't know about it. Reminds me when I was a little lost boy sitting in the choir and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm praying for you. That's important. Support is so important. I can't get past that. And talking about that, if having a good husband, that you need to support him. Having a good pastor, you need to support him. If he's doing these things, it's important. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being an ensample of the flock, doing what's right. And I think about one day, and when the chief shepherd shall appear,
ye shall receive a crown of joy that fadeth not away. Boy, I tell you, I get excited about that. I have things to look forward to. You have things to look forward to. It's not just what we see here. I just pray the Lord get a hold of us and do what he wants to do. I'm telling you, I don't believe in emotionalism and trying to get people worked up emotionally, but spiritually there should be a fire in every single one of us. And I believe it's the Lord, the one that has to do the lighting. But how do you get to these things? And it says here, brings all these things back together. Verse number 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You see, there's order. There's order. Us in the church being the examples that we're supposed to be, myself, the deacons, the older ones in the church, setting the example. It says here, likewise, ye younger, those coming on, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That puts us all in together. See, that's unity. That means I don't live unto myself, you don't live unto yourself. We're subject together. We're working together. You see that all throughout God's word. And I believe it by this, by the way that being in the Bible, that it must be that way. Again, some musts in the Bible. All of you subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. I've seen that play out day after day, time after time. I have seen that work. I think sometimes people think that if a person is humble, that they're weak. But God is the one. God takes care of the humble. God uses those who are humble in nature and those that are being willing to be used by him. Again, some musts that you see in the family. Some musts that you see in the church. Now I want us to look at this last a couple of musts here. If you will, let's turn to John chapter number 3 and look at verse number 3. When you look at these things lined out, if you want to be firing on all cylinders for the Lord, every single one of these need attention. Every single one of these can't be sidestepped. That's why I say they're a must this morning, a must in relationships. This is the most important, by the way. This is really where it starts. You're talking about having a relationship. Things will never be right in your life if you don't have a relationship with the Lord. The Lord here, Jesus, he's talking to Nicodemus and he's explaining to him. You know, he didn't know, he didn't understand, and that's why he came to him by night. Everybody was talking in public, but Nicodemus, he actually had enough about him. He's like, well, I want to know, and I don't want to be around the crowds. Maybe he didn't want them to know that he was talking to the Lord. Maybe he wanted to have the Lord one-on-one so he could talk to him and get some answers. See, the different thing about this that you'll find with Nicodemus, he actually wanted to know. If you are going through something in your life and you want to know, you can take it to the Lord. He'll tell you. People that are trying to be naysayers and trying to just question things and continually question things and have doubtful disputations and in just trying to entertain negativity and falsehoods and things, the Lord can see right through that. But if you're here this morning and you want to know, you can know. If you go to the Lord with an open heart, he will show you. He'll show you whatever it is. If you're lost, he'll show you that you're lost. If you're saved and going through things, he'll show you what it is, but he'll show you in his word. He'll show you. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth if you'll let him. But Nicodemus came to him and he's asking him some questions here. I'll just read at the beginning. It said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except thou be with him. Nobody, we've seen it. You're the real deal. And I want to know more. Jesus, and it says here, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the most important relationship that you have to have. You must. It's what he says down here in verse number 7. It says, marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again. There's some absolutes in the word of God.
This is something that you can't sidestep and think you have or wonder if you have. You must, is what he's teaching and what he's saying. How do you do that? How do I have a relationship with the Lord? You might be sitting there this morning and the Lord has been dealing with your heart. You want to be saved. How do I be saved? You accept him. You ask him. You ask him in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must be born again. You're not going to have a relationship with him if you do not ask. There's an asking, Lord, will you save me? There's also an asking for repentance. You're willing to say, I think this is where a lot of times people fall off. They're not willing to say that they're wrong and to say that Jesus is right. See, you're not falling under subjection. You see that order. You see the order all throughout the Bible. You see it all line up all throughout the Bible. Being in subjection to him, that's when you get that new heart. That's when you become that new person, is being born again, a rebirth. He goes on to explain about being born of blood and water, but he's also talking about here being born, reborn spiritually, trusting him. Asking the Lord to forgive you for your sins and willing to accept him and what he did on the cross for you, you must believe that. There's no other way into heaven. There's no other way. I think a lot of times people want to think they're all right, feel they're all right, and try to rationalize things any other way, but you cannot rationalize it any other way. Either you're saved or you're lost. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Little John, the Bible teaches us there that you can be saved and you can know it. If you don't know it, today's the day to know it. I'll ask you, if you will, to stand with me this morning. I'm going to stop right there. I could keep going. I'll ask the ladies to come if they will, please. Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord, and Lord, just what you've given to us here, God. And Lord, I just trust you with it. I commit it to you, God. Lord, I know I'm not worthy or anything like that, God, and so much work needs to be done. But God, I commit it to you, Lord, and again, just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, the lives here at the church, our community, God. I just thank you so much for that. But Lord, I pray for every heart here this morning. I pray for every family. God, I ask for your protection and your leadership and guidance over them, Lord, your oversight over them and provision, God. Lord, I pray for our church, our leaders. God, I just pray that it be what you would have it to be, God, fully, completely, Lord, subjected to you, a spotless bride. God, we want to serve you and see you do things, God, the way you'd have them to be done. And God, I pray also for those, Lord, that do not have a relationship with you, God. The Bible teaches us so clearly that you must be born again. God, I pray for those this morning who are questioning things, Lord, trying to figure things out. Lord, that you're dealing with, I believe with all my heart, Lord, there's several hearts here, God, that you're dealing with. And Lord, I pray and I ask humbly, God, that you deal with those hearts, convict hearts this morning. And Lord, I just pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.